Good evening. Merry Christmas. Wow, Merry Christmas Eve. That doesn't really work very well. Welcome to Grace. Welcome to our Christmas Eve service. Great to see so many of you here. Obviously, we're here tonight to celebrate and reflect on the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to open tonight in a word of prayer and just offer this time to the Lord. But before I do that, just a couple things. If you got your cell phones on, why don't you check them right now and make sure they're off. I heard someone say the other night, set your phones to stun. So set your phones to stun. We have childcare through ages 3 out there if you need that. And we have a cry room over here if you have an infant here and you need that. There's a cry room right there. You can hear the service from there. And finally, on the way out, we have some Christmas devotionals. If you're looking for a way to just talk about Jesus tomorrow as a family or even alone, just reflect on who he is. Right as you're walking out, there's some just these little slips that give you an opportunity to have a devotional. So I just want to make you aware of that. So let me open our time in prayer, and then we will celebrate the birth of our King. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great occasion. And every year we come to this occasion with different feelings. For some of us, this is a time of joy and expectation. And for others, it's a time of pain, of loss and loneliness. And we all come to this time of year in a different place. But this evening we gather to celebrate Jesus. And we can do that wherever we are right now. And so we pray that you would help us through your Spirit to honor him, to thank him, and to thank you for this great gift. And so we just lift up this time to you and pray that it blesses you. And pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us?
Angels, we have heard.
Sweetly singing o'er the plains.
herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations arise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic ghosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by heaven and heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased is man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory.
We praise and worship you tonight. We worship your son Jesus and his birth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a seat, would you?
Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. What child is this? That's our theme for this Christmas Eve service. What child is this? Who is this child that we've gathered into this room tonight to worship? Who is he really? Our hope this evening is that we could all explore in a fresh way who this Christ child is and what his coming to earth means and will mean for us one day. And so that's our hope tonight, that we can just see in a fresh way the fullness of who Jesus Christ is and worship him and give him thanks for the gift of himself. You heard me read two names of this child in this passage. The first was Jesus, and the second was Emmanuel. Jesus, as many of you know, means the Lord saves, or as I like to say, Yahweh to the rescue. And that's who this Christ is. He is God coming to save his people. And the other name was Emmanuel, which, as you know, means God with us. And this child born is God dwelling with us as one of us. And so we could spend a whole night looking at those two names of Jesus and reflecting on those. But we're going to do something a little differently tonight. And those of you that have been around this month know that we've been looking at the book of Revelation. And so what we're going to do tonight is take seven names of Jesus that are given in the book of Revelation, seven descriptions that capture different aspects of who he is, and we're going to use those as a way of just reflecting on who he is for us and who he will be one day for us. So I want to show you what these are up front before we go into each one of them. Here are the descriptions from Revelation. Who is this child? What child is this? He is the root of David, the bright morning star. He is the Word of God. He is he who has the seven spirits of God. He is the lamb who was slain. He is the rider on the white horse. He is the Amen. And finally, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And notice those first five, what we're going to do is actually go through Jesus' life chronologically. So if you look at those first two, this Christ is a baby who was born, a descendant of David, but also the Word of God who was with God even before all things were. And then as a man, he grew up and he had the Spirit of God dwelling in him like none other. And then, of course, he came to be the Lamb and went and became the Lamb at his crucifixion. And one day, he will come again as the rider on the white horse to set up his kingdom. And then the final two, the Amen and the Alpha and the Omega, are sort of summary climactic descriptions of who this child is for us. And what we did for this service is we asked seven members of this community to take one of those names, one of those descriptions, and write a reflection on that particular description. And so seven people have written those descriptions, and then we've asked seven readers to read those descriptions. Sometimes the writer and the reader are the same person, sometimes they're not, and you can try to figure out which is which. So it's going to be a fun way to hear what our community has come up with in terms of just reflecting on different aspects of who this child is. And we're also going to have some images up there for each description from a guy named Gustave Doré, who is a 19th century painter. But these are wood carvings that depict different parts of Jesus' life. So I want to invite you to just sit back and consider again, what child is this? We're going to sing one more song, and then we're going to get into some of these descriptions.
What child is this who lays her head on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch our King?
This is Christ the King. Incense, gold, and myrrh.
King of Kings, salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone.
Sing, this is Christ the King.
What child is this? He is the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. One night I imagined I was walking through a dark forest. Darkness was all around me. The ground was wet, cold, and muddy. I had been trudging for hours until I stumbled into a clearing. It was a little meadow, and even though it was dark, I could vaguely see the forest edge. In the middle, I saw a great tree stump, at least 20 feet in diameter. I walked to it and wondered at the greatness of the tree it must have been. The roots were gnarly, twisting, and bumpy. They were visible under the grass, poking out every few feet, and then completely disappearing underground. They were extremely thick, and I could only imagine the support they once had to give. This tree had been ancient, with a long history of life and stories. I wondered of its ancestry and of the struggles it had endured. I was filled with sadness by the thought of how beautiful this tree was, and that now it was only an old dead stump in the ground. I decided to take a break from my walking there, and I looked up at the night sky as I laid down to rest. The atmosphere was clear, and the air was crisp and cool. My eyes adjusted, and I began to notice stars for the first time. I didn't remember stars before. One star in particular seemed brighter than the others. I focused on it, and as it began to get brighter and brighter, I couldn't take my eyes off of it. It was the most beautiful star in the sky, brilliant and dancing. I felt warm at the sight of it, and I was sure I heard it singing. The sky around it began to lighten. It was no longer black midnight, but turning to colors of violet and blue. The night was coming to an end, and this star, this bright morning star, was calling the sun out of the darkness. Over the ridge of the mountains, dawn was breaking, and I was filled with hope. I expected the star to fade into the sky as the morning rose, but it didn't. Instead, it became bigger and bigger and showed more brilliantly next to the early sun. I looked down as I felt a tickle on my arm. Next to me, a tiny green shoot had grown out of the top of the stump. To my surprise, a little baby tree had been born out of this old dead wood. It grew right in front of my eyes, up and up, reaching higher and higher for the light and soaking up the rays from the sun. The stump wasn't dead after all. It was alive, and the roots began to move and creak as if they were waking stiff from a deep sleep. I could hear them snap and crackle, digging themselves deep to support the weight of the fast-growing tree. I was astonished. What child is this? This child is a new life, a tiny sprout born from the deep roots of ancestry of God's chosen people. He is the heir and descendant of King David. He is the fulfilled promise from God himself to provide a redeemer and a king for his people at a time when hope of a king was dead. And he is the bright morning star, brilliant and irresistible. When the darkness of our fallen nature keeps us from entering into relationship with our Heavenly Father, he points us to the new dawn of redemption. It is there that we are escorted into the light of his forgiveness and grace. He is our Savior. He has brought life and light to all who will receive him.
What child is this? He is called the Word of God. This child is no ordinary human child. He is the very Word of God who was there before the universe was made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything in the universe was made through him, through this little child. With a simple word, he created all things. "Let there be light," he said. And there was light. "Let there be sky and sea," and there was sky and sea. "Let the seas be separated, and let there be land," and it was so. He is the Word who created all things. And then the miraculous happened. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word who spoke the universe into being spoke his powerful word to his creation while he dwelt among us. No wonder he could speak to the stormy sea with a word, "Peace, be still," and it was still. Doesn't the one who created the sea with a word have the power to command the sea with a word? No wonder he could command the dead man Lazarus to come out of the grave with a word, "Lazarus, come out," and he came out. No wonder he could command two lowly fishermen with a word, "Come, follow me," and they left everything and came and followed him. And no wonder he could make the claims he makes. Just listen to the claims he makes about himself. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Have you ever heard a man speak the way this man speaks? One day, soldiers were sent to arrest Jesus, and when they returned to their superiors without Jesus, they were asked, "Why didn't you arrest him?" Their response was this: "No man speaks the way this man speaks." And the Word who was with God in the beginning, the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, is the Word who can still speak into our lives today with power, grace, and truth. His words in Scripture continue to ring out to us. "Come, follow me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What child is this? He is the Word of God. It is the Word, this child becoming flesh, that we worship here tonight and that we'll celebrate in our homes tomorrow.
What child is this? It is he who has the seven spirits of God. In the book of Revelation, the number seven is the number of perfection and completeness. So to say that this child has the seven spirits of God is to say that he has the Holy Spirit in all his fullness and completeness. The Holy Spirit, who is he? He is the one we all desperately need. He is the power of God who brings hope and healing to our lives. He is the presence of God who makes his home in our longing hearts. He is the voice of God who speaks to our hearts and tells us we are God's much-loved children. And he is the breath of God who breathes love, joy, and peace into our anger, despair, and fear. He is the counselor. He is the stream of living water. He is the source and sustainer of life that can truly be called life to the fullest. Truly, there are two types of life. There's life, and then there's spiritual life. And this child born on Christmas Day, is the one who possesses the Holy Spirit in all his fullness. This child's life on earth was saturated with the Holy Spirit from beginning to end. His conception in Mary's womb was a miracle brought about by the Spirit, and every moment of his ministry was lived in the Spirit, in the Spirit's power that enabled him to heal the sick, calm the storms, cast out the demons, and raise the dead. It was the Spirit's presence that filled his heart with a warm fellowship, even when he was alone. It was the Spirit's voice that spoke into his soul, reminding him that he was God's much-loved child. And it was the Spirit's breath that breathed love, joy, and peace into his life in ways that made him unlike any other man. And then this man died and rose and went up to heaven, where he is now seated at the right hand of God. And from there, he has the power to pour out the Holy Spirit on all God's people, on all who put their faith in him. Put your faith in this man, Jesus, and he will give you the Spirit. Receive this Jesus, and you will receive his Spirit. If you begin to follow this Jesus, you will stop living life, and you will begin to live spiritual life, life to the fullest, the only life worth living. You'll begin to live life the way Jesus lived life because you will have the same Spirit living in you that lived in him. It won't happen all at once, but it will begin to happen. Where there was once only failure, there will be a growing power to overcome. Where there was once only fear, there will be a growing peace. And where there was once only despair, there will be a growing hope. So, keep on coming to this Jesus, and you will taste true life, spiritual life, and you will taste it for all eternity.
What child is this? He's called the Lamb who was slain. On this night, at this time, our hearts often turn to see a child, a baby, born of his mother in a manger, a little life beginning. There is so much hope wrapped up in that swaddling cloth. Hope of love and joy, peace and laughter, plans for a future. Mary and Joseph must have had big plans for this little one, as all parents do. But did they fully understand that this child was God's son here on earth, sent to accomplish God's plan? And that in his birth, God's plan was set into motion. A plan that was from the beginning. A plan for the redemption of God's people. The plan involved them. It involved them loving as this child, caring for this child, raising this child, watching as he began his ministry, as he spoke like no one else ever had, as he preached repentance, as he healed the sick, and as he raised the dead. But this plan also involved him going to Jerusalem, where he would surrender to the chief priests and Pharisees. It involved him standing before Pontius Pilate as king of the Jews. It involved him being beaten. It involved him being taken to the hill of Golgotha, to the cross. And ultimately, it involved him surrendering his life as a living sacrifice, as a lamb. Tonight, as we celebrate his birth as a child, but this is not fully what we explore tonight, is his death and as a lamb, that we have this everlasting life. It is in Revelation chapter 5, a chorus of angels sing this song, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. But why is he worthy, according to the angels? Not because he was born, not because he healed the sick, not because he raised the dead, though all these are true. But here's what the angels say. Worthy are you, O Lamb, because you were slain, and by your blood you have been purchased people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The Lamb is worthy because he gave himself as a living sacrifice. He is worthy because he was slain. But why? Was it necessary for this child, this Jesus, to give his life as a sacrifice? Romans chapter 3 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. It is by this Lamb, this child, this Jesus, that we are given the hope of eternal life. This was the plan set in motion on this night so many years ago. A plan for God to provide a means for salvation to his people. Out of love, he sent his son to be the sacrificial lamb. And by his blood, we are saved. O Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace."
What child is this? He is the rider on the white horse. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh yes, and another thing. He's definitely not a child anymore. He's all grown up, well-rested, and very, very focused. In Revelation 19, Jesus returns as the rider on the white horse to make war against his enemies at the end of time. It's a Bible story for grown-ups, a gothic opera of technicolor glory and unapologetic violence. The vision of the rider of the white horse records another instance of Jesus' arrival, distinct from his birth in Bethlehem and distinct from his triumphal entry into Jerusalem as an adult. This third arrival is an account of an appearing yet to take place. As in the Charles Dickens holiday classic, this is the specter of Christmas future. Christmas past was the story of taxes, travel, and an unwed teenage couple hustling for shelter in a rough and tumble tourist town. Here Jesus first appeared in the flesh, bloody, naked, gasping for breath in the squalor of a horse barn, laid to rest in a feeding trough when mom and dad were too exhausted to cradle him any longer in their arms. His coming out clothes were torn from the hems and linings of garments, hastily packed for the troublesome journey. And there were angels, though not in the stable, where their presence might have at least resulted in a room upgrade. No. Instead, the heavenly host appeared on the outskirts of town to a handful of poor working-class shepherds, frightening them half to death. "Go," said the angel, "find the Savior. You'll know him by his clothes." Decades later, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, he lumbered on the back of a borrowed pack animal, a lowly gray donkey. Perhaps as a foreshadowing of the future, his first act following his arrival in Jerusalem was one of violence as he deconstructed the temple marketplace, chastising the irreligious for their contempt of his father's house. Revelation's vision of the returning Christ is a rich mix of splendor and horror. Christ, the Word, is back to judge and make war, leading with him the armies of heaven. His ride this time? A great white horse. And it's so astonishing, it's the first thing John notices, though it's soon surpassed by the terror of the Son of Man himself, a sacred samurai bent on destruction. Wearing a crown of crowns and a blood-soaked robe, his eyes blaze like furnaces, and his weapon, a sharp sword, emanates from his mouth. He sports one name just for himself that no one but he can know, The other name, emblazoned on his robe, is a pronouncement, a warning, a threat, and a promise. It reads, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's an angel again, standing this time in the sun so as not to be missed, and calling the planet's birds of prey to another kind of last supper, where God is the host and his enemies are on the menu. The beast and false prophet are thrown live into burning sulfur. The rest, beasts and man alike, are slaughtered with the sword, and the raptors sicken themselves cleaning up the mess, and God is glorified. Frightening as that vision is, it is a vision of God's judgment on his enemies, not on his children. By his blood, he redeemed to himself any and all who would receive him as the Word, those whom he called by his irrevocable calling. As challenging as it may be to understand now, we will rejoice with him as he carries out judgment on those who would oppose him, even as we reign with him. That is the Jesus of Christmas future. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
We worship the name of Jesus tonight. Would you sing of that name with me?
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Let's sing Kings and Kingdoms.
Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Sing that again. Kings and kingdoms.
Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
What child is this? He is called the Amen. Amen is a word that often rolls off our tongues as the punctuation to our prayers. It is used to enthusiastically express agreement, and it speaks to that which is approved, right, and true. But most of all, it is perfectly epitomized in the character of our Lord. Revelation 3 says that this babe, Jesus Christ, is the Amen. He is the personification of all that is true. Jesus is the ultimate punctuation, the exclamation point, leading to redemption for this imperfect world. He is the climax and the final word to all of God's promises. He is the fulfillment of God's oath to us, his beloved children. But what does this mean to my broken heart? What does this mean to my body that yearns to hold my beautiful boy again? What does this mean to a soul scarred by the evil in this world? What does this mean to a mind plagued with experiences of suffering? What does this child, the Amen, mean to you and me? In brokenness, he is all that is whole. When our strength fails, his power is perfect. When surrounded by evil, he is all that is good. Plagued with suffering, he is our assurance of hope. I do not understand his ways and even feel wounded by them. I cannot comprehend his plans and often find them to be very painful. I am baffled by some of his decisions and even long for them to be different. But there is one clear exception. His decision as the bright morning star to humble himself by coming to earth and living as the very Word of God among us. He allowed himself, a spotless lamb, to be shamefully slaughtered for our sake. And in his conquering of death, he has given us access to the kingdom, to genuine hope, the hope to which I cling. Therefore, this little child Jesus is the realization of all God's promises to us, the Amen. Jesus is all that is sure. He is our certainty in this shifting, unstable, fractured world. He is the source of everything true. He is firm and faithful, worthy of our loyalty and trust. Thus, he has aptly conferred the title of Amen upon himself, the yes, the so be it, and the truly, truly of our lives, the truly, truly of all God has done and will do. I am challenged to consider, as each Amen concludes my conversations of prayer, that I am actually invoking the very name of the one to whom I pray, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I am affirming his role as the faithful and true witness and giving glory to him who is, in fact, God incarnate. Hallelujah, this child has come. Amen to the Amen.
What child is this? He is called the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So much is said in this simple title. In the Greek alphabet, no letter comes before Alpha and no letter comes after Omega. So to say that this child is the Alpha and the Omega is to say that he is the absolute beginning and he is the absolute end, the end-all be-all, the great I am, the God who was and is to come. This child, born in a manger so long ago, is in fact the God of all time. He is the Alpha, the first, the beginning. Before him, there was nothing. There has never been a time when he did not exist, and all of existence springs forth from him. Indeed, even time itself is dependent upon this child. As the Apostle Paul writes, by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This child is the absolute beginning, and we owe our own beginnings to him. He is the fountain of our life, the wellspring of our hope, the origin of our redemption. He truly is the Alpha, the first, the beginning. Yet he is also the Omega. He is the last, the end. He is the culmination of human history and the goal toward which all of creation points. Our existence is for his glory, and he is the ultimate end of all of our striving. Again, as Paul writes, from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. In a very real sense, then, he is the Omega for the entire created order. But in a very personal way, he is also the Omega for each and every one of us in this room. The buck stops with this child. He is the end of the line for each and every person on the face of the earth. To those who spurn his grace, he is the end that brings judgment and wrath, but to those of us who thirst for him, he is the end that brings the water of eternal life. He will be our God, and we will be his children. Like a refreshing well at the end of an arduous journey through the desert, this child truly is the end which satisfies our deepest needs and our deepest desires. He is the Omega, the last, the absolute end. This child is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. At once, he is both the source and the goal of our existence, all of our meaning, all of our hope. All of our purpose is found in him. In him, we live and move and have our being. Therefore, let us worship this child, for he is God himself, the ultimate reality, the great I am, the everlasting Lord, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Let us praise this child, Christ our Lord.
Oh, he
Christ was born. Oh.
Sing Silent Night.
Silent Night, Holy Night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin stand with us. The faithful saints of Christ,
God's saints, O come all ye faithful.
O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of ages. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him.
Jesus Christ himself, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed. Amen. Merry Christmas. Go in God's grace. Nice.
Tell it on the mountain, over the hill, everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hill, everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds kept their watching, all
tremble when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. So go,
go tell it on, tell it on the mountain,
over the hills, everywhere. Go,
go tell it on, tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ.
Christ is born, and God sent us salvation and blessed Christmas morn. Oh, go,
go tell it on the, tell it on the mountain,
over the hill, everywhere. Go,
go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born.
Go ahead, tell.
Santa, go straight to the ghetto.
Santa Claus,
go straight to the ghetto.
Oh, you know what you'll find.
We need you so bad, we need you this time.
Calling out for Saint Nick.
Ring a sleigh bell and get here quick, says Santa. Go straight to the ghetto.
Oh, Santa Claus.
Oh, go straight to the ghetto.
Leave a train for Tommy.
Leave a dollhouse for Sally.
Leave a clown for Billy. Times are hard. We need you here really now, Santa Claus.
Go straight to the ghetto. Go straight to the ghetto.
Yeah, yeah.
Santa Claus.
Tell him James Brown sent you.
Santa Claus.
Santa.
Santa. Go straight to the ghetto. Go tell it on the mountain.
On the mountain.
Over the hill. Everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. Jesus Christ is born.
I'll
go tell it on the mountain, over the hill, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain.
On the mountain.
Jesus Christ is born.